chapter, maybe. Zeroing in on verses 6 and 13. Malachi is a minor prophet. We'll call a lot of minor prophets in the Old Testament. They, every one of them, have a great message. Malachi being the last prophet in the Old Testament to pen some scriptures at the close of the Old Testament. And we see the condition that the nation Israel was in, causing God to depart Ichabod from that nation. And what happened to them. And what happens to each nation, including our nation, whenever we don't do the things that God tells us to do, or the lack of true worship. Now, I was very dissatisfied with our election, but it did not disturb God not one bit. Not one bit. I think what really disturbed God is the lack of true worship in our churches across our nation. Now, that disturbs God. It disturbed God back in the time of Malachi and the nation of Israel, when God was saying, Ichabod, because if you're not going to worship me in the lack of true worship, I'm going to close the doors. And God closed the doors of heaven for over 400 years from the time that Malachi was penned to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a baby thing in the manger. Not a word from heaven. Not a word from God. Silence for 400 years till the coming of Jesus Christ. We have plenty of worship in our country. We have plenty of worship in the world. But there's a lack of true worship. Malachi was living at the very end of the dispensation period of time of the Old Testament. The time whenever God changes the way that he's dealing with people. In the Old Testament time, God deal with the human race of people through the Israelite people. I hope thou be in the book of Daniel, because the time clock stopped for the nation of Israel, unleashed the Gentile period of time. And Gentile period of time started and it will end at the rapture of the church. God dealing with this world through his nation he loved so much. To live the way God told him to live would bring all people to him. All nations of the world to see Jehovah God. How great things he might do with a nation that's willing to worship and serve him. We know that the nation failed and they 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 fall many times and God will forgive them, set them back up. But at the end of Malachi, God says, that's enough, I am tired of it. At the very close, God has said, I also believe in our day, that's enough of it. I believe that we're going to see it happen in our country, just like it happened to the nation of Israel. People think we're so powerful, we're so great, God has blessed us so much that we can't fall. The nation of Israel thought the very same thing. We're your people, God. We're your people. God says, yes, but I'm telling you, there's a lack of true worship. Malachi, what was happening then is happening in our time, in our country, the day that we're living and been happening, and we're seeing the book of Daniel unfold before our very eyes in our country. The prophecy coming true. And I believe just as Malachi living of the last days, I believe that we're living in the last days also. The next thing I believe on God's time clock, and is very shortly coming to pass, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We know one thing for sure. We're closer today than we was yesterday. And I know that for sure. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Drop down to verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a wilderness it is. And you have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts. and you have brought that which was torn and lame and sick, and thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hands, saith the Lord? Let us pray. Father Jesus, we know, Father, upon this nation that, Lord, that we love, and we know that you love. Lord, that you have looked down upon this nation and greatly blessed us with your word and with your spirit. And Father, the very foundation of this great country we live in was founded on the name of Jesus Christ and your holy word. And we thank you for that. But Father, we also know, Lord, the same is that nation of Israel that you chose them out. We know that they have crumbled in their foundation at the time of the Old Testament. They went into captivity, and Father, we want to pray and ask you, Lord, to help us to understand what's really ahead for our country and for the Christian people, oh God, and for our nation. To help us, oh God, to understand the things that's happening, God, is according to your time clock. And Father, it's right on time. And we know, Lord, that you're in charge and in control. Father, we just pray that you might give us the wisdom, Father, understanding and the strength, and Lord, that we need, oh God, for these upcoming days and years to live the life that you'd have us to live as your children. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. The nation of Israel, talking to the priest, and I'll get on to that a little bit later, but you know, every one of us that's saved, we are a priest. He's talking to the priest. The priest carried on the sacrificial things of the work of the temple. And you, my friends, every one of us, brothers and sisters in the Lord, are priests, and we carry on the sacrificial offering to God every time that we meet in the name of Jesus Christ in the night, or whatever we do in the name of Jesus Christ. It says, what weirdness, all the church that we're going to. The priest was saying, as many says today, what weirdness it is just going to church and this worship stuff and this singing and this giving. You know what? A lot of people said, I'm just tired of it. The same way the priest was. They were just tired of ministering in the temple. All these sacrifices, all this work, all this blood, all this fire, all this wood, all this sacrifice. I'm just tired of it. There are a lot of people today is tired of worship. They're tired of this thing, worshiping God and coming to church. And they have proved it time and time again. Well, I'm going to tell you, many, many people that the thrill and the excitement and the zeal that's gone in their life, they've lost the joy of serving the Lord. And if you're one of them, and if you know one of them, I'd like for you to carry this sermon to them. If we get time to get through with it tonight, it might help you and it might help them. Because you see, they're in that danger and the condition, the same condition was that the nation of Israel was, and also the time of Malachi. And pay attention that you might help somebody, because you see, that condition is very dangerous, getting tired and weary, and they lost the zeal of serving Jesus Christ. And many people is in that position right now. It don't make no difference. They come to church, they come, or they not come. It don't make no difference. They give or they not give. It just don't make no difference. They lost their zeal. They lost their joy of coming serving God. Now, what do we do? What do we do as people? I'm going to tell you, it's up to that person, because Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, exciting to me, and I've never lost that zeal. I know that I've failed many times, but he's never failed me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm coming to church to serve Jesus Christ and not to serve people. And I'm going to tell you, everybody ought to be in that same condition. You don't care what people say about you. I know you care and I care also, but that's not the reason we're here. We're here to worship God. I believe we ought to have some true worship. And we need to investigate our life and investigate our church. And we come, do we really have true worship? Or they are lack in service in our own lives? Now, I'm talking to one now, it's regular. It comes all the time. It serves the Lord. Yes, but you see, we can come and serve the Lord and still lose our joy and enthusiasm of coming to church. We need to investigate our life and see if the same thing have happened to the nation of Israel at the time of these priests might be happening to us today. There's three ways, you know, of this zeal might bring back, if you look at this, in a real worship this hour. Many is bored with churches. Now, an unexcited Christian is somebody who has forgot who God is. If anybody has lost their zeal and their joy and enthusiasm of coming and worshiping, listen to singing, and I'm going to tell you to praise the Lord, and being with God's people, if they have lost that zeal, there's one thing that's wrong with them, and that is they have forgot who God is. Until they get that back, they will not be hot for the Lord. These people that Malachi had lost their zeal, it did not matter to them. They was weary of the worship. Stay home and they do not care. This is a very dangerous thing. Malachi reminds us who God is. And who God is to you tonight. And why do we worship Him? Now, when you see the zeal of enthusiasm, the results of who God is, And God says, you know what? You just can't be lukewarm. I mean, Jesus ought to be sweeter every day than he was yesterday. He ought to be sweeter to us tonight. It ought to give you more privilege to be here this Wednesday night than it was last Wednesday night. It ought to give you more zeal to read your Bible more today than you did yesterday. Jesus ought to become sweeter and sweeter every day of our life because that's exactly who he is, the one and the savior of our soul. Just think about who God is and what he done for us to send his only son to die on the cross. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ. How could anybody lose their zeal because they have forgot who God is and what he done for them if they're a Christian, a child of God? That's what's wrong with them. Oh, maybe they get this zeal back. Now, God says, Jesus Christ says, you know what? You just can't be lukewarm. The first thing we need to do is recognize the nature of God. In that verse 6 I read, the nature of God, first thing it says, if I'm a father and if I'm a master. To start, we see the nature of a father is to honor him. You know, we owe something to our fathers. I owe a lot to my father. He's been dead and gone for many years now. But I tell you, I owe a lot to our father. We owe a lot to our mothers, our parents. God says, you know, the nature of a father there in verse 6. If I be a father, then where is my honor? Now think about this. Where is my honor? Because you and I tonight are sons and daughters of God. Is that right? I mean, are you a child of God? I mean, are you born again? If it is, you know what? You are a child of God. He is your father. It says, Abba, Father. We might cry. Abba, Father. You know, that's being a closer relationship when you call him daddy. Well, if he's your daddy, you know what? You owe him something. Amen? I won't amen myself. I can't get amen. But you owe God something if he's your father. And that's what God says here. God, you're our father. Honor. Now, what is this word honor he's talking about? That means attach weight to something. Attach weight to something. To take something very serious. How about your own father? Attach the weight to it. Very serious. Now, tonight, if you're not worshiping God with this true worship, you know, God says, you know what, be better off, you know what, if you hadn't ever been born again, if you're not going to serve God. Think about this now. This is serious. Born again. Now, if you're born again, you're in a family of God, and nothing can take you out of a family of God. And listen, we love God. Do we not? Everybody love God? Now, people that don't honor God are people who don't really take God serious. Now, you think about this. Across our nation, in our church, I remember, the people that don't take God serious today don't honor God. This is serious stuff. Did y'all know it was serious at the time of the book of Malachi was penned also? But that nation went down. Come and go, it don't really matter. Jesus Christ says, you know about this being lukewarm? In Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea and church, verses 15 to 16, you know what he said? I know thy works, that they are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, I just spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick on my stomach. Now, I'm telling you what, the lack of true worship, I wonder if God looking upon our nation today and the worship we call worship today, if it don't make him sick sometime. Now, I'm not just talking about our church neither. And like I said, I'm talking to the ones that steady, the members, the foundation, the faithful. But you think about our church as a whole. Think about the churches as a whole today. God had rather have someone cold right out against him or hot than just be lukewarm. Just be lukewarm. Because when we're lukewarm, when you come to church, you know what you're doing with a half-hearted worship? You know what we're doing? We are insulting God. We are insulting God when we don't come with true worship in our heart. And I think we got a lack of true worship in our services sometime, including me. Let's face it. God said this is true. Now, G. Campbell Morgan says a half-hearted worship is worse form of blaspheming. Half-hearted worship is the worst form of blaspheming. Think about that. Just think about that. Worse than not even believing in God. Because it makes God sick. Somebody don't believe in God might get saved. This makes God sick. Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness says, God, I believe in you. You ever heard people say, I believe in God? There's a lot of people says, I believe in God. Lukewarmness says, you know what? I really believe in God, but you don't excite me enough to come and worship you. I believe in you, God. How many people do you know believes in God? But you don't excite me, God, enough to come and give my time, my talent, my tithes. That's where we're at today in the Christian realm of our society. That's where we're at. You're not worthy of my wholehearted worship, God. The lack of true worship. Don't come to church. Don't get excited. And then there's time that comes, and you know what? They just sit and soak and sour. You know what? We could be blaspheming sitting in our pews. When we come to church, we understand that God is our Father, and we should worship Him with everything that we are, everything we owe, and everything we have, we owe to Him. Whenever we sit, when we talk, when we smile, when we sing, when we listen, it may be to honor God. Are you honoring God this night? God, you're my Father, and I owe you something. Do you owe Jesus Christ anything? Do you owe God anything? More than what you'll ever be able to repay back, I can assure you of that. God says, the nature as a master also, you're my servant. If I be your master, you owe me fear. Verse 6. What kind of fear? Reverence. This is reverence. He said a servant. This is a word for a bond servant. Paul says, I'm a bond slave. You know what a bond slave was? In the nation of Israel, in his word, if someone got down on their luck and they'd sell themselves into bondage to another person, but by the way, into bondage, they had worked for him for several years. You know, I think it was for 7 years, year of Jubilee, is that right? And then they would be released to go back and start all over again. That's the way God had for the people that was poor that couldn't make it, sell themselves into bondage, into slave to someone else in the nation of Israel. After 7 years, they would release all their debts. They'd go back and start all over again. Now, some people could not manage like, you know, the day. Some people just cannot manage. Those people that could not manage and they had a good master to provide for them and all they had to do was work, they had to make the decision, he provided everything for them. End of that 7 year Jubilee time that they would release them and they say, oh no, hey, I got it made better here than going back here and trying to make it for myself. I don't want to leave. Well, they would take them then to the priest and then they'd take an auger and they'd pierce the ear. They'd be right on time this day and time, wouldn't they? Men and they would be right on time. The men with their ears pierced. The auger through the ear of the doorpost. I'm going to tell you, they'd be in society today, wouldn't they? That would show that they was willing to serve this man. To put their self under a bond slave. Now, he says right here, if I'm a servant, a bond slave, and a slave. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You are a bond slave, a bond servant, every one of us. We come to worship, it is necessary to worship the right way. God, I honor you because you're my Father. God, I fear you because you are my master. Reverence. You know, there's a healthy fear and there is a clean fear. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, Moses is speaking. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, test you, and that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. Now, here it is. Malachi says, you know, fear of God, Moses said not to, because there are two different types of fear. There's an outward fear. Now, this outward fear is the fear of circumstances. You know, I fear what's going to happen in our country. I fear that. That's a healthy fear. That's circumstances. Listen, there's an inward fear. This inward fear now is the reverence of a holy and almighty God. God says if you have the right fear, the fear of God, your worst fear is need to fear God. And if you have this worst fear of fearing God, reverence to Him, everything else won't matter. Number one fear, we remove all other fears. The number one fear and reverence God, remove all other fears. Because you see, we don't like the way our nation run. I don't like what we got there is running our nation. I didn't like the way it turned out. And I fear the circumstances. But I have a reverence to God. And if I have a reverence to God, I slept plumb good last night. I didn't even stay up and see the results. Because I said, God, if you're going to stay up, you don't never sleep, I'm going to bed. And I turned the lights out and I went to bed. I knew about who was going to win it to start before they ever had it. Because the hearts of the people has turned against God in this country. And it wasn't a matter of what happened. They're trying to second guess if Romney done this, that, and other. I don't make no difference. It's the heart of the people. And I tell you, if he had a change and we'd had another president in office, I'm going to tell you, that would have changed the hearts of the people. You know what really is bad is because the hearts of the people has turned against God in our country. Now that's where we have danger at. And the same thing with the nation of Israel. They had turned against a holy God. And number one fear, you remember, if we fear Almighty God and reverence Him, no matter what happened in this country, God's going to take care of us. I tell you what, I got excited. I really did. I got excited. And I put all this together. I got excited. Because see, God, you know what? His will is going to be done. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to come out better than we've ever been before. And I'll tell you, I don't like what was going on, but I'm going to tell you, there are going to be some people that are going to see the light. And God says Christians are going to go through some tribulation time. We're not going to go through the great tribulation. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. We're going to be raptured up, but we're going to go through some tribulation time. And I'm going to tell you, it's right upon us right now. And I'm going to tell you, the man that we got running this thing, I'm going to tell you, is against Christianity in this country. And we're going to see some times. Because the hearts of the people has turned away from God. But just the fear that I have. But Almighty God says, you have this number one fear. I'm going to tell you, understand who God is and reverence and bow down before Him. He says, you know what? That number one fear, if you have that, you won't have to worry about all those other fears because I'm going to take care of you. But you're going to come out better than you've ever been before. It's going to get more exciting to serve Jesus Christ at any other time of your life. Because of the number one fear, the fear and reverence God. And we turn back to true worship. I'm going to tell you, the reverence in God as Christians ought to be. I'm going to tell you, I don't think we even touch the hem of the power released in the lives of people across our nation. What will happen when people turn back to God? And I'm going to tell you, I believe that this is going to help people turn back to God. No one more, they might more get saved, but I'm going to tell you, the one that is saved is going to understand one thing. You better know who you are because you're going to go through some tribulation time. And now I'm going to tell you, the reason so many people don't care because they ain't never been put in the fire. But hear me, I'm going to tell you by the very power of the Word of God that Christians are going to go through some fire. And I don't know where I'm going to be. I might be in the grave. I might be in heaven. I don't know where I'm going to be, but I'm going to tell you what, it's coming. It's coming. We're going to win. We're going to win. I'm going to tell you, that rally they had after the presidential election and all the people that are cheering and everything, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till God comes back on His throne. Amen. There ain't nothing reason we ought to be down tonight. I'm telling you. Fear number one, you understand who God is. Reverence, bow down before Him. If God be for us, Mr. President, you can't be against us. And all your cronies that believe like you do. Fear. Fear. Reverence God. You know what fear is, this type of fear is? It's love on its knees. It's love on its knees. First thing. Realizing the nature of God, nature of the Father, honor Him, nature of the Master, fear Him. Then we see reverence the name of God. And I'm going to tell you what, we are lost in this country too on that too. Reverence the name of God. Verse 6, the last part. O priest that despise my name, and you are a priest today, listen, that's what he's calling these priests who despise my name. Where you have despised my name, they said. Where have we done it? How have we done that? How has Christian done that this day? How do we do that? Well, 2 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people. That means you're very special. That you should show forth praise of him who have called you out of darkness unto this marvelous light. Then today, we dishonor God by not giving our best to him. That's what they was doing at the time of Malachi. Listen, he'll tell you what was going on. And we dishonor God the day that we're living in, a lack of true worship, as we don't bring God our best. And if you don't bring God your best, you're not praising God. You know, the day we've got away from that, you need to bring God your best, bring God your first. Now, I know that, you know what, we don't have to have a suit and a tie on, but I'm going to tell you what, you ought to bring him your best worship. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times people say, you just come just like you are. Now, that's what God sees on the inside. Man sees on the outside. But I tell you what, there ought to be a dress code of honoring God when we come to worship him. I don't think you ought to come with your bikini bathing suit on and your flip-flops. There ought to be a code. It don't matter if it's overalls and if you don't have nothing else to wear, but it ought to be clean and it ought to be your best no matter what it is. And not just what we give to. We'll get to that in just a minute. Lord, give me another hour. Give me another hour that we might just get to this. We dishonor God by not giving our best on the altar. And they was dishonoring God by not giving God the best on the altar. In verse 7 of this same chapter, ye offer polluted bread upon thy altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. That means despised. The table of the Lord is where they brought the sacrifice, and they would cut them open before they would lay them on the altar and cut them in pieces. And the table there was, you say, was polluted because of the type of sacrifices that they was bringing God. And he tells us why there in verse 8. And if you offer the blind sacrifice. And remember now, this is the nation Israel, and you're supposed to give God your first and your best out of the flock. And it says, your blind sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is that not evil? Offer it now to your governors. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? The nation of Israel was mocking God with the great sacrifices. Now listen, the question and the tragedy is they was robbing God of his honor and his glory. And I tell you, when we come with half-hearted worship and we don't have true worship today, I'm going to tell you, we're robbing God of his glory and also of his honor. He called them hypocrites there. These ministries, the testimony of a godless nation, of the nation Israel, had forgot about God. And they was doing it in hypocritical ways. And there was an end of their time of that nation Israel whenever God brought them into that bondage there of the Roman Empire, the day of Jesus Christ lived. And I tell you, I believe that we are going under bondage of a foreign country by the power of the almighty dollar. We will not be able to be strong because other countries will own us. But remember the first fear. We won't have to fear the other fear if we fear that first fear. And that is God. How we defile his name. Flea-bitten goats and blind sheep and dead cows. And this was on the altar of the Lord. Book of Leviticus and also in Exodus tell the nation of Israel exactly how to sacrifice and what type of sacrifice. Unblemished. Clean. Why? Because it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an insult to God to have a picture of something that's lame on the altar because his son was perfect on the altar for you and I. And they was making insults to God. And when we don't come and bring our best, I'm going to tell you, we insult God. In every area of our life when we come to worship, I'm going to tell you, this is just a building made out of bricks and stones and wood, but it's a holy place of God. Set aside to worship him. The holy temple of God is this person. You lives in us. This is a place that we come to worship. It ought to be a holy place. And we come together, we ought to have true worship to understand who God is and what he's done for each and every one of us. And if you don't get excited about what Jesus Christ done for you, You have forgot who God is and what He's done for you. And no matter who they are, if a person is saved tonight and not serving and worshiping Jesus Christ, they forgot who God is and what He's done for them if they really saved. And they're unenthused of what God's doing for them. And they better get a good hold, because this world's going to go spinning faster and faster before God gets through with it. It says there in Exodus chapter 22 and 31, And ye shall be a holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. You know what they was doing? They was bringing these animals that some dog had caught, or some animal caught, wounded, hurt. You know what he's saying there in that verse? You shall cast it to the dogs. You know what that nation was doing? They was giving God dog food. But this is serious. And we don't come to worship God and we don't give Him our best, we're giving God dog food. You reckon God's sick and tired of it? You reckon what's happening upon our nation around the world today? God said, I'm sick and tired of it. How about my worship? I'm going to tell you, this is for each and every individual of us today. They were giving God dog food. I'm going to tell you, if you want to make God come alive, give God your best. If anybody is cold and indifferent, the excitement's gone, the joy's gone, bring back the best you have to God, best in your worship, best in your giving, best in everything that you can think of. Give it back to God, your best. Because it says, where your treasure are, your heart will be there also. If you're not even giving God your time, even just one little hour on Sunday, some people won't even give Him that. Won't even give Him an hour. If they do, they have paid Him back. God, I'm waiting for some change because You owe me. I've done been here one time this week already. Am I telling the truth? Many, many. There's no joy, no zeal in the worship because they're not giving God anything. Anybody, if they're born again Christian, child of God, and they're not worshiping true worship, their joy is gone, their excitement is gone, their zeal is gone, I'm going to tell you, they're not giving God anything. That's the reason it's gone. That's the reason it's gone. Now, you want it back? Well, God says, what you've been doing, you try on your governors and see if he'd be pleased with it. You give him your leftovers, see if he'd be pleased with it. Like, you know, your income tax. Come April 15th now. Well, you just write the IRS and you just tell them, well, I know it's time for income taxes and I want to pay income taxes and I know that you need my taxes. But you see, I'd love to do that, but I've had some sickness this year. Been some sickness and I really, really had some bad luck and, you know, and I just don't believe I'll be able to send it this year. Will that work? Try that on your governors. Try that. And how about your tithes? Try that. Then, you know, well, coming to church, you know, well, it rained like it did tonight. You get up, you say to your boss man tomorrow, you call him and say, well, I was going to come to work, but you say it's rained. And I was going to come, but just as I started to leave to go to work this morning, some of my family come, and I had to stay home and cook for them. You try that on your governors. That's what you're doing to God. That's what they're doing to God. He said, I'm tired of it. You know what we're doing in our country? We're eating cake and giving God the crumbs of our lives. But this is serious. I'm going to tell you, it hit me. You make worship come alive, the zeal and the thrill, bring God back your best. If we give a gift to God that means very little to you, it will mean very little to God. It will mean very little to God. David, king of Israel, wanted to make an offering over in 2 Samuel. I won't have time to go and read all that, get into it, but I wanted to. And he wanted to have some true worship. And, you know, and he wanted to bring the excitement back and the praise back. You know, he wanted to give God something. And, you know, over in 2 Samuel, there was a man had a threshing floor. And he said, you know, he went to that man had a threshing floor. And that was always up on a hill. you know, where they throw up the wheat, you know, in the wind and blew away up on the hill, a threshing floor, they call it. And he wanted to buy that because he wanted to make an altar and worship God. And he wanted to buy that, you know. But the man says, now, hey, King David, you've been so good to me. He says, you just take this. It won't cost you nothing. You just take this. I'll just give it to you. You make a groove to God because you've been so good to me. David said in 2 Samuel 24 and 24, neither will I offer burnt offering to God, to my Lord, my God, of that which do cost me nothing. And he paid him for that land. If you're going to bring something that don't cost you much, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get much out of it. And I'm not talking about tithes. That's one of the things. That's just one of the areas. But I'm talking about as a whole of worshiping God with everything we are. Who we are ourselves today. You see, everything. You know, there's people wouldn't stand up and cuss and have profanity in our church. I don't believe they would. I don't believe that person would say that, you know. But you see, there are a lot of profanity in our church today. It don't come out of our mouth, but it comes out of our heart. It comes out of our heart. And here's the way it happens. Sunday night and every time that we sing, especially this song that I like so good, Brother Oral sings, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You know, we sung that Sunday night. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. A lot of people just wheeled it out. You know what? That's blaspheming. Not from our mouth, but from our heart. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And how do we really mean it? Because you see, when we're singing it, no matter what song that we sing, God is reading our hearts. And he's reading your minds this hour, and every time that we come to worship together, so many times the people sitting here and they're blaspheming God with their heart because, you see, they've got their mind on some business job, they've got their mind on cooking dinner, they've got their mind on what they've done last week, what they're going to do next week, and they're not honoring and worshiping God. And I don't know this, but God does. And this was the nation of Israel. This is what happened to the nation of Israel. It was with their heart. Verse 10. Who is there even among you that should shut the door for naught? Neither do ye kindle the fire of mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offer at your hands. You know, I ain't got time to go into a lot further of this, but I'm going to tell you what God said. You might as well shut your doors of your church and nail it closed. Because you're not worshiping me. And I tell you, a lot of churches, and I believe a lot of Baptist churches this day and this hour, can nail their doors shut because they're not worshiping God. And the doors across, and the churches across this country, a lot of them, they have Jesus Christ across their doors. I'm going to tell you, there's a lack of true worship in our country. There's a lack of true worship in our churches today. And I just wonder this here for us. He says, you neither kindle the fire of the altar. You see, it's vain fire. Nation of Israel, God wrote Ichabod. God has departed. You and I, the states, I believe that God has departed. He's left us to get what we deserve. And I tell you what's what fears me. Number one fear is the fear of God. Because 11 says, for from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of thy same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. You see, the nation of Israel put his name down. But you see, Jesus Christ coming back. And to the Jews first, they reject him, but to the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name. This night, we offer an incense to God in my name. And pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathens. That's the Gentile, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, we're people of his name. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, is there salvation any other? For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we shall be saved. You see, their worship in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, where two or more gather together, he says, I will be there in their midst. Their authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you ask in my name, he says, I will do it. There is power in prayer in thy name. Ask, and then you shall receive. I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to recognize the nature of God, the reverence of the name of God, and relate to the nobility of God, who God is. Because when you see this, who God is, that is true worship. Are you worshiping God with true worship? If so, all hail the power of Jesus, name that angel prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Is he getting true worship today out of your life and my life? In this church, we represent the name of Jesus Christ. Is he really getting it? I'm going to tell you what we lack of is a lack of true worship. I'm going to tell you what, then that fear comes, I'll tell you what, the fear of Almighty God. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't fear the nations of this world, because of one fear and reverence God, because God will take care of us. And I tell you, he took it off of my shoulders. I wasn't worried about it after I went to bed last night. Because God says, hey, it's all in my time plate. I'm taking care of it. You don't worry. It's not taking him by surprise. The number one fear. Lack of anything I have to say, I believe it's a lack of true worship. How much greater could we have it if we really have the true worship of God? I know that I run late again like I do every time. But thank you. Tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Would anybody like to say anything, or are we going to be dismissed and go home? Anybody like to come to this altar? Anybody like to say any word?